Jaron Benton, Dead End Hip Hop, nigga. When I'm driving down, listen, man, when I'm driving down the fucking road of hip hop, and I don't know where the fuck I'm at, it's probably because I'm in the Dead End Hip Hop. Dead End Hip Hop, man. Fuck with it, because I fuck with it.
Dead in Hip Hop, we're here with Jaron Benton. It's been a long time coming. Finally got a chance to get you on the show, man. It's been a good grind for you, man.
It has been a grind, man. I'm still grinding. I ain't even where I want to be yet. I'll be there. I'm grinding.
That's the attitude they have right there.
And it's going to fucking happen. Hell yeah.
For the title of your album, what made you, what was the inspiration for this to your grandmother? It was like a kind of pay homage?
Yeah, you know what? It was most of the albums I've done before this was kind of like just having fun, just fucking around and shit. Even though you still got some of those elements on this album. But most of the serious songs that I did, they reflect a part of me. They reflect the trials and tribulations that I went through when I was living in my grandma's basement. So a lot of stress, a lot of fucking growing pains came from living in my grandma's basement, man. And I never experienced a lot of shit like that, man. A lot of heartache, a lot of just depression, a lot of just life. And that was the, I think that was the time when I was just going through so much shit. And so those songs that I put on the album, they reflect that moment. So that's why I wanted to call it My Grandma's Basement.
You described it well on your title track, because I felt like you was like depressed or angry, yeah, or stressed on that song. The last track, yeah, on there, I was, yeah, like, yeah, that's one of my favorite tracks on there. So
exactly, yep. That's how I felt to the T on that song, man. Like there's nothing on that song that's like exaggerated. Like, if anything, it's not exaggerated enough. That song right there, that sums it all up of how the fuck I was feeling. But at the same time, I also wanted to throw that line in there too, where I was like, I should be thankful I lay in the basement instead of the pavement, because I was just wanted to let my grandma know, like, shit, that's love. To just, when a nigga down on his luck and you open the door and you let me come back in and get my shit together. But I still couldn't help what I was going through internally when I was living in that basement. But it made me who I am today. And I'm thankful for that fucking basement.
Like, how cool was it having your grandmother on there?
That was cool as shit, because my grandma just a cool-ass person, man. Like, she's cool as fuck. Like, she never came across like a grandma.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Like, you know, the typical grandma is just like, you know, you feel timid around her. Here's a grandma, you know. I don't. Fuck that, man. You can be you in front of my grandma. That's what I love about her. Like, I always felt like she was a grandma, but I never felt like that the cliche grandmother type, if that makes sense. A lot of black people family got that type of grandma, man.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know,
she was just like cool with you, like this whole rap thing, right? She was cool with that.
Yeah, oh, she was hella cool with it, man. Cause I've been doing this shit since I was a kid, so it's like this ain't nothing. Her seeing me doing all this shit ain't really nothing new to her.
Right.
I mean, I don't even think she even understand like the progress that I've made. But I always been trying to rap, and I always been the same nigga, if not. You know, of course I've grown a little bit, but the same elements has always been there, so it's not surprising to her, man. So it is what it is.
So I saw the interview where you asked her, you said, so which one of my songs is your favorite song?
Oh.
And she said, I don't love them. You said, you ain't listening to my music. Have you finally got her to listen to your music?
You know what? When I did the CD, I brought like 10 copies and I left them over there. So I don't even know if she's even still listening to it. I hope she has, but I don't even know yet. But I know damn well that day when she said that shit, she did not listen to none of my shit. Never. She's like, oh, I like all of them. Yeah, good. Yeah, right. The hell out of here.
You just said a few minutes ago, like, the shit that's on this album, like, it's kind of like some real shit you was feeling.
Yeah.
So now when you said that, I thought about Heart Attack.
Yeah, that was a real emotion, too. You know what? I went through that experience with two women in my life, man. I had this one chick I was with for a while. But you know what's crazy? Even when I made that song, I don't have those emotions there no more. Like, it's no attachment to that anymore, because it's like that's been long gone and over. I just thought it'd be cool to tap back into that emotion and make a song about it. But yeah, I had my heart broken before by some bullshit like that. You know, you find out you love a chick and she fucking just shitting on you, she cheated on you, and the way she went about it was so fucking cold. I really did want to fucking kill her. And I swear I did. Like, and it's crazy when you in a relationship and you dealing with heartache, it's like you miss that person and then you deal with the pain of not being with that person. But then, at least me,
yeah,
you deal with this certain pain. I want to fucking kill this bitch. Like, you deal with that too. So I want to really put that out there. I dealt with that. Like, I really want to kill that bitch. And so I couldn't do it.
I said, like, Mike, you must not even tap back into that emotion. Like,
what you mean? You ain't never had nobody break your heart.
Mike is saying this
to
you.
I think we all feel that.
A couple of my chicks, if they come up missing, I wouldn't blame you for cutting my house. Straight up.
Hell yeah, man. I don't know what it is. Maybe I might need to seek some type of therapy. You too.
You
might need some type of fucking therapy, man.
Because
I don't know. It comes with that emotion, man. Like, you heartbroken. You're like, this bitch. You fucking bitch. How dare you do that to me? I'm in a good place now. I'm great. I'm actually fucking married, actually. So.
Oh, word? Congratulations.
So, yeah. Let's get the last laugh now, bitch.
Being a Southern rapper, how do other Southern rappers treat you? Because you are not your typical rapper from the South.
That's a good fucking question.
I've always wondered that.
That's a great, you know, that's a great fucking question. Now I'm about to fucking vent. You about to make me vent. Other Southern rappers, man, if it ain't the Southern rappers I came up with, and maybe because maybe I'm just not making enough noise for like the mainstream Southern rappers to hit me, I always feel like it's a fucking disconnect. And the crazy thing about it, most Southern rappers that claim the A, they ain't even really from the fucking A. A lot of these niggas, like, I'm born and raised in the motherfucking A. And I guarantee you, I got more personal. Niggas might judge me just off the lyrics. And you know, it's always that bias with Southern niggas when it comes to like the shit that's not the typical Southern shit.
Yeah.
And it's the truth. Yeah. So niggas already, I know I say some outlandish, ridiculous shit. So niggas already kind of put like a label on me just because of the shit I say and the type of image I portray, they think. And I know a lot of shit I do is sort of silly, but at the same time, like, I'm at the heart, I'm your typical A-Town. I'm born and raised here. I was born at Grady Memorial. I grew up on the east side, Decatur, Stone Mountain. I mean, I am fucking, I'm more Atlanta than you bitch ass niggas who don't fuck with me. Just letting that be known right now. So, but hopefully, as I progress, niggas will know what time it is. And because there's so many Atlanta artists I want to fuck with, man. Like, tons of them, man. I want to fuck with, like, a lot of them, man. But I hope I can bridge that gap and we can come together and do some shit, man.
So what inspires you to make that different type? Like, you don't, like you said, you don't have that typical Atlanta sound. So what inspired that? Like, how do you grow up here and not, like, have that sound?
That's another good question. I can answer that. You know, and growing up in Atlanta, I grew up in Atlanta, like, when the shit in Atlanta, y'all from Atlanta, right?
Well, I'm from
really.
Nah, man. Oh, okay. We've been for a minute, but yeah.
Was y'all down here in like the early 90s and shit?
I was, yeah.
You was
down
here?
Yeah, I came in 99.
Like, in early 90s, I was a fucking kid. I was in elementary, but still, the Atlanta typical sound then was like fucking Kilo and like, it still had a lot
that
of booty.
Tag team
and booty shaking shit. I never really liked that shit. Like, I fucked with Kilo. It wasn't until, and so I didn't like that shit, and as a kid, they played all that shit on the radio. The only outlet we had to like other dope hip hop was either like Yo MTV Raps, Rap City, and 88.5.
Which is still around.
Yeah. Sunday nights, they used to play like all the shit. So that's how I would hear like a lot of dope rappers from just listening to that shit. And then I would hear like dope MCs that wasn't from the South. Like, damn, it happened to be a lot of New York and a lot of LA niggas and shit. So something about the sound of that music, I just gravitated towards too, more than just the shit that was coming out in the South. It wasn't until like I got to Outkast and Goody Mob kind of kicked the door down, then UGK, 3-6 Mafia. Not only just 3-6, a lot of niggas have branched off from 3-6, like Gangsta Black, fucking Player Fly, Tommy Wright, Crime Ball, 8 Ball, all that shit. Like, that's the South shit I was fucking with. But before that, it was just like straight up just that booty shaking type shit. I just couldn't fuck with that. So I think my influence was always gravitated towards like east, northeast, or west coast, and that's kind of, I guess that's kind of like how my influences kind of help create who I am.
How's Funk Volume treating you, man?
Funk Volume has probably been the best decision I probably made as far as a career wise, because you know, I was fucking around with a lot of other labels too, man. But I had that experience and that heartache and that heartbreak of just like when you fuck with mainstream labels, how they get in, they want to change the direction, they want to, and you start feeling inadequate. You start feeling like, damn, I thought what I was doing was good. Because you build, you take your minute, you try to build something, and you take your minute to try to, you know, get your fucking skills up. And when you finally on that road to where you feel like you're going in the right direction, like a lot of the mainstream people, they would just tear you the fuck down and tear you apart. And they don't, because, and you know what it is, just because they don't understand it. And so when they don't understand it, they want to conform you to something that they can understand. And so that would make me feel like, damn, I gotta change. And it would always kind of break my heart and make me feel like, fuck, I'm not dope enough, or I'm not good enough to fucking make it in the majors. But then when fucking Dame came, it was like dealing with somebody that just like, it wasn't no, I mean, he fucked with what I was doing. That's Funk Volume, Dame and Hops, and they was fucking with what I was doing. And it was no need for them to, they said, shit, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it.
Right,
so,
right.
And the dope thing about them, they allow us to just do us. Like, Dame might critique shit, might say he like this, he like that, but he's never tried to make us fucking change anything, man. Like, and that's what's dope. It's not that same. And plus, he comes across like a real human too. And when I say that, like, y'all know these industry niggas, man. And no disrespect to a lot of them, but it's like, they don't come across as like real human beings. Like, they just come across as like, you see one, you see this, they're all the fucking same. Now, I ain't saying all of them, I take that back. But most of them, they kind of got the same lingo, same attitude, same, and it's just like, damn, you feel like you're not even, just feel like it's a big fucking disconnect. With Dame, that was the first person I met that was in music that, I can't say the first person, but first person that was doing it on a kind of good level that I met that was just humble, and he seemed like a fucking real human being, like a real fucking man. So that was another thing that made me want to fuck with Funk Volume. But man, Funk Volume been dope, man. It's been fucking dope. I ain't got one complaint except for Dame. He loves R&B music, so he needs to cut that shit out. When it's a car full of niggas, you can't be bumping Tank. Can't do that.
Wow.
You can't do it, man. Do that shit with your girl. Another thing too, like all the other artists, like Dizzy, DJ Hopper, Hobson, Swizz. The chemistry between us is like so dope, man. I feel like we all fucking brothers. Like there's no like distance. It's like everybody fuck with each other, man. And so it's dope. I didn't expect it to be as dope as it is.
What do you say to the people that tell you that your type of rap will never get popular with a large crowd? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've heard that too.
I heard that tons of times.
Does that make you want to change the way you rhyme at all?
You know what? It doesn't make me want to change, but I'm the type of person when someone has constructive criticism, I don't really close it off. I actually try to listen to it, because before my music was even a shitload different than it is now. So I did take. Some of their opinions, I took some of their criticism and I tried to add elements that they would say, and I still tried to keep my integrity, keep myself in it. I was, you know, if they were saying like these beats are too fucking weird or it's too hip hoppy, I'm like, well, fuck it. I see what's popping, and I like some of the shit that's popping mainstream, so I kind of borrowed some of the mainstream fucking tactics too. So yeah, I mean, I definitely took their fucking criticism. I didn't take it lightly. Like I was open to taking and critiquing and progress myself and try to see how I can add. And I'm pretty sure there's some people that probably listen to my shit now and think there's a lot, I got a lot more growing to do. And if someone has something to say, I wouldn't close it off. I'm like, nigga, shut the fuck up. I'm not that type of person. Like, I would really take heat. Even I listened to even y'all first review. I listened to shit y'all was saying, and I was like, okay, yeah. The shit y'all was saying, it wasn't even y'all, the criticism that y'all had towards the Free Bass with Kevin Bacon album, that actually I took in consideration to that, even doing this album. The next album I think is even gonna be more fucking serious than this one right here.
It was just good by you signing with Funk Volume, it's good that you still was able to work with Kato as a producer. Yeah. It seemed like y'all both had y'all pocket and y'all chemistry, you can tell throughout this whole album, like, oh man, I'm glad like Funk Volume didn't take you away from that, you know, away from that sound.
That's what's so dope about them niggas, man. Like, they see what you're doing and it's like, They just
don't.
Yeah, they don't try to fix it. Hell yeah, yeah. That was Me and Kato over the time, man. We developed a great chemistry. Even the same producers that I used on Free Basin are the same exact producers that was on this album too. But yeah, me and Kato, we got a great chemistry, and even me and the other producers, man, it's like I dig they shit. So, and probably on the next album, it's gonna be the same exact thing. Maybe a little bit other producers, maybe, because I'm about to fire Kato. Fuck me.
Is there anybody that you're looking at that you think you want to work with as far as a producer?
You know what? It's a lot of producers I would like to fuck with, man. I just don't know how to. I hadn't gotten in contact with them. Like, I think Harry Fraud is dope as hell too. Like, I've a lot of shit he's been producing, I think, is crazy. And you know, of course, the typical, you know, Primo. I'd kill to do some shit with Primo, man. I'd kill a Primo beat. Who else, man? Even Mike Willmate, man, I fuck with him heavy. I think he makes some crazy shit, man. So I'm open to work with any producer that's got some fucking heat, man. They ain't even got to be mainstream, local too.
I think your rhyming style can cater to a Primo beat as well to a Mike Willmate beat.
Which
I think
is
that's
crazy.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's how you just name both of those two producers as complete opposite styles.
That's cool that he mentioned that, like, your flow fitting on different styles, because one thing I did notice with your latest tape, you almost have these borderline trap beats,
yeah,
which you wouldn't expect your type of rhyme style over those type of beats. So I'm assuming that was a conscious decision, like you want to kind of go for that A sound but still add your own spin to it, right?
Yep, you're right, he's right. Another thing, I fuck with a lot of trap beats. Like, I can't, like I say, the South shit that I was fucking with was 3-6 Mafia, UGK. Like, I fuck with, like, those beats and those producers that was doing it, DJ Paul, Juicy J, even from Pimp C. I know he was doing a lot of shit with UGK too, and even Organized Noise. I forget Organized Noise. Like, a lot of those beats, man, I think they're dope. And I think that's the thing that's wrong with the South.
Yeah.
I think like, if you listen to a lot of those 808 heavy trap sounding beats, they're like dope fucking beats. And that was the shit that kind of got me into, like I say, with 666 Mafia. Like, those beats were so fucking dope. And I think with the South, unfortunately, and no disrespect to the MCs, it's just that in the MC world, the way their cadence is and the things that they say is not considered, like, the dope. I consider it dope just because I can relate to the experience that's on those beats. I just think a lot of the rappers are just so, not a lot of them, I can't say a lot of them, but it's the typical kind of ABC type style. You don't really hear too many niggas, there are some, but just go in on those beats. So I think those beats get such a bad rep just because of the MCs that on those beats. So that was one of the conscious efforts, man. Like, I wanted to take those beats because I fuck with them so heavy and just do me on it. Like, just because I came from a school of just MCs, studying like MCs and dope lyricists. So it's just in me, just so whatever beat it is, I feel like I gotta go in.
Last question, Vinny Paz RA, what was it like working with them?
Man, that shit was so dope. The reason why that shit was so dope to me is because these RA the Rugged Man and Vinny Paz are two niggas that I used to look up to. Like, these niggas are killing it. Like, I got like probably damn near every single Jedi Mind Trick album. And I was listening to Jedi Mind Tricks on the fucking way here. And niggas in the car like, what the fuck is this? But and same with Ari the Rugged Man. Like, I've been bumping his shit for so fucking long, and it was just like, and Ari the Rugged Man is one of those rappers, like, with the most impeccable fucking wordplay. Like, that nigga's wordplay is stupid.
Impeccable people.
Yeah.
Impeccable.
That's impeccable.
It's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous wordplay. And Vinny Paz is one of the most, the hardest motherfuckers. I actually got a chance to, they came to Atlanta, they didn't show here at the Masquerade. I got a chance to check them out, man. So those are just two MCs I just been fucking with from day one. And just the coming from listening to them to having them on my own shit was just like crazy to me. Like, I get a kick out of that shit, man, out of working with people that I came up with. Like, I mean, you know, I would love to work with Lil Wayne, but I would get more of a kick out of working with, like, fucking Wu-Tang Clan versus Lil Wayne, but just because it's people I just came up with, not no disrespect. Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. Like, I did some shit with Eric Sermon a while ago, and I got a chance to kick it with him. Like, we was trying to do a little project, and I was actually just geeked because I came up off of, like, Redman and shit like that, man. So just, hell yeah. So being in the studio with them was like, was dope, man. So to me, that was a dope experience, man. I appreciate them dudes for just reaching out. Even I reached out to them, but then they reached back out for me to get on their shit too. So yeah. It's dope. So I think we building a relationship, man. And I look forward to doing more shit with Ari and Vinny Paz. But that was dope. Hell yeah.
Well, that's what's up, man. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man. We definitely appreciate you coming.
Thank y'all, man.
Yeah.
Big time, man. Thanks, homie. Oh, my man. Fuck Mike Wahlberg, by the way. Fuck niggas.